Go to Acts chapter 26, and we're going to read verses 1 through 20 this morning. If you'll stand for love and respect of God's word, and this morning I'll just read, and you can follow along, verses 1 through 20. Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert, in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you, that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and expelled them to blaspheme, or compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Over here in Acts 20, I know I've preached out of this passage of Scripture before, but remember what I told you. When you start reading a passage of Scripture and start looking at things, more than one message is contained in each place, okay? And so sometimes, you know, just you put a little space between them and such and so forth, but this is something important to look at, because we're talking about, at the very beginning of the year, we introduced a new theme. And we said, okay, each one, reach one in 2021. That's what we want to accomplish. And listen, I promise you, we've talked about that many times over the last several Sundays, about the different aspects of that thought. And as we roll into February, and with a kind of an indication of right, missions is important to the church and supporting missionaries and praying for them and financially supporting them and different things and sharing with those missionaries the burden that they have for the people in other lands and other parts of the country and other parts of the world. All of those things actually goes along with this idea of each one, reach one. God has called families to go to another country, to go to another part of the world, to go do things. And they're one going to reach one in another land. And we get to be one that helps them in such a cause. And so there is something to be said about missions and about doing the work of God, not just abroad in the world, but here in this community. And so we see here something I want you to focus on in verse 16. Jesus is speaking to Saul on the Damascus Road, and Saul's account of this event, he says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." So today I just want to talk to you about the purpose of reaching one. The purpose. In other words, why? Why should we go out and reach one? Why should we support missionaries who are trying to go out and reach one? Why should we be even interested in this? What is the purpose? What's the reason we're doing this? Well, Jesus said for Paul, or if you will, Saul at the time, he said, "I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." You say, well, what is that? Well, let's read. "To make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." That's the purpose. That's the purpose. That's why it is imperative for you and I to reach one this year. That's why it's imperative for us to support missionaries and to give and to pray and to support and to uplift and to encourage those who are going out to reach some in this world. That's the purpose. There's a purpose. I often say that if the only purpose was for you to go to heaven, then the moment you trusted Christ, he'd kill you and take you to heaven. Why stay? What's the reason? What's the purpose? The purpose is to reach. The purpose is to reach. And you know, we already talked, there are many different ways to reach out to the lost, to reach out to this world, to reach out to those who need salvation. So let's take a look at these things that Jesus says to Paul, that he said to Saul before he was Paul. For the purpose is to reach today. First of all, the purpose is to be a minister. To be a minister. You know what it means to be a minister? It's really to be a servant. To be one who yields himself to another's needs. When we minister to people, we're not thinking about ourselves, are we? When we minister to others, it's not for our own glory or our own benefit. It's for theirs. It's purely unselfish to minister to someone else. Paul was called to be a minister. Jesus said that he was going to make him a minister to the Gentiles. Can I tell you, what are we supposed to deliver? What are we supposed to serve them with? What are we supposed to do for these people that we're trying to reach? First of all, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's see what type of ministry or ministering we are to do for others. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You might be familiar with verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's a wonderful verse. Speaking of the change and transformation that Christ brings to someone's life. Did Paul experience a transformation there on the Damascus Road? Oh, yes, absolutely. Was he made a new creature in Jesus Christ? Oh, yes, he was. Lord, what would thou have me to do? Paul, I'm going to make you a minister to the Gentiles. He said, look at verse 18, though. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What did God choose to use to spread this ministry or this reconciliation of God, a man to God? What did he choose to use? Us. Whom did he choose to use there on the Damascus Road? Saul. He chose to use Saul to deliver this reconciliation to mankind. Look what it says in verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, what does that mean? Does that mean we're the ones that save people? No. No. What does it mean? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We get to deliver the word of Christ to them. That says, hey, you can be saved. You can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. That's our ministry. We get to tell them of salvation. We are his ambassadors. What does an ambassador do in a foreign land? He's a representative of what? Of the country that he came from, right? And he is the voice of that country in another land. What do you think a missionary is? Yeah. And let me just put it a little closer to home. What do you think you are as it is concerned with not being part of this world anymore? That new creature in Christ we talked about, right? We're not a part of this world anymore. We are born again. We have a new country. We do. It's called heaven. Yeah, amen. Yes. And listen, I love America, but heaven's better. Yeah, sure is. And listen, so we have this ministry of reconciliation. We are sent, we have a purpose to be a minister. They don't know. Perhaps that they need to be reconciled. I mean, isn't it interesting how lost people just do what lost people do? Because they're lost. I mean, why do lost people steal and kill and rob and cheat and lie? Because they're lost. That's just what they are. And it's what you and I were at one time. Until we were brought to the knowledge that we've sinned against the holy God. That, hey, that's sin. God says, you can't do that. Oh. So now what? Well, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can be reconciled with God through his Son. And that's our ministry. That's the purpose. Saul was going to be sent to tell people about Jesus. That
they could be reconciled to God. We are His ambassadors, and that is what we are intended to do. We have a purpose. That is our purpose. Well, go to Ephesians chapter 3. How else can we minister to these people? We can tell them about the need of reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 6 through 7. Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Hey, we get to tell them not only do they need to be reconciled to God, but that they can be fellow heirs with Christ. That they can, because of the gospel, they actually can be born into God's family. Isn't it great to be part of the family of God? It is. You know, we don't deserve to be a part of this family. We don't at all. In fact, quite the contrary is true, yes? So we've been given a special privilege to be a part of the family of God. Amen. To have the name of God attached to our name. And you know what? Boy, what a wonderful thing. And we get to be ministers to people of that truth. He said that he was to tell the Gentiles that they can be fellow heirs by the gospel. By the gospel. And he said he was made a minister of that according to the gift of the grace of God given unto him by the effectual working of His power. Folks, we're not doing this in our own power. But we have been made ministers for a purpose. The purpose of telling people they need to be reconciled to God. The purpose of telling people that they can be part of the family of God. And I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. How else can we minister to these? Remember, we're talking about missions. We're talking about reaching one. Each one reaching one. In Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 23. Paul says this, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. You notice he said that each time here, didn't he? Reaffirming what he told Agrippa about Christ saying for this purpose to minister. You think Paul was serious about this? So what else? Not only reconciliation and being a part of the family of God, but the hope. The hope of the gospel. The hope. Hey, what would we do without hope? What would we do? We'd be in despair like the rest of the world is. You know, I think one of the top diseases in our world today is depression. Depression. Some of you in the medical field can back me up on this, right? Don't more people take medicine for depression than anything else, almost? Or if not anything else, it's right up there? I mean, it's crazy how depressed people are. Why? A suicide. Why is suicide such a problem? No hope. No hope. They don't see any hope in the end of things. But we have hope. We have the hope. Yes, it's in Christ. And isn't being a minister bringing hope to people? Bringing help to people? Helping them to see that there's hope for salvation. There's hope for life. There's hope for a future. Because of Jesus Christ. So Paul was sent out to be a minister of these things That was the purpose that God had for him. Go back to Acts 26 and look at, again, what Paul says to Agrippa. I really need to make better use of my Bible markers. There. For this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. A witness. Now, when we use the word witness, we often use it to talk about going out soul winning, right? To being a mouthpiece for Jesus Christ in our world today, right? Is that true? Okay. But how about, think about it this way. As Paul, on trial here with King Agrippa, he is a what? He was asked to speak for himself. He says, Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. So what was Paul about to do in this court that he was a part of? Be a witness. Be a witness. He was going to be a witness. Jesus told Paul that for this purpose I have appeared unto thee, to be a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Right? So he's going to be a witness in the case for salvation. Yeah. He's a witness. He's the star witness. You know why Paul's, you know what makes a person a good witness? Huh? They were there. They were there. They saw it. They heard it. Maybe they felt it. They experienced it for themselves. For themselves. That makes them a great witness. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, in the case for salvation and the gospel and Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the hope of heaven, are not you and I great witnesses? Because we've experienced it for ourselves. How can you make clear to someone that which you've not experienced yourself? Or that which you do not know yourself? Hey, listen. If I were not any good at mathematics, do you think I would have any success in explaining algebra or geometry to someone? Not a chance. Not a chance. I'm not great in English. I'm knowledgeable enough, but boy, you get me into a complex composition and I'm going to have a little hard time. But I mean, basic stuff, I can grade, you know, basic things. But I'm not as good of a witness as maybe an English teacher would be. But you know what? One day, back in the summer of 1985, I knelt down by my little bed, my house in Valley City, North Dakota, and I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to become my Savior. I was there. I witnessed it. I know that salvation happened for me that day, and I can tell someone else about that. Of course, we've already preached about the power of your testimony, your personal testimony. But can I tell you, this is what Paul was called to do. This was his purpose, to be a witness. And I love what he told King Agrippa. He said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus. Hey, listen, you think this man was on trial the moment he got to that house there in Damascus? And Ananias came through and was told, hey, you need to go there and see this man. I've set him apart for a purpose, my purpose. And Ananias says, God, don't you know who this man is? God, don't you know? Do you remember back in Acts chapter 9, what Ananias said to him? He said, hey, don't you know this man was sent here to arrest me? God, don't you know? Come on now. How many times have we done something like that? Of course he knows. He's God. What a silly question. Yeah. To be a witness. He was on trial. Those Christians there in Damascus, did they really think that, oh, is this a trick? Maybe this is his ploy that he's feigning to be one of us so he can get us all together and capture us and take us back to Jerusalem. Come on now. Right? But because of his fervency and the pure truth of his conversion, it didn't take long, did it, to show through. And he preached. And he influenced for the cause of Christ because he was there. He was there. He saw the light. He saw and heard the voice of the Lord Jesus speak to him. He was a witness. You and I have a purpose to be a witness to those we intend to reach. You know, being a witness is declaring the truth. Declaring the truth. This is what I saw. This is what I experienced. This is what I heard. This is what I felt. I experienced this. I felt it. I'm the witness. It is so. It is true. It is what it is. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, we have an opportunity to be a witness. Go to Luke chapter 1. There's many more scriptures I want to get to today, but I'm running out of time. Once again, it seems to always happen to me. Luke chapter 1, look what Luke says. Luke chapter 1. Forasmuch as many as have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. You think Luke makes a compelling case for being a witness and a minister of these things? Oh, I do. Oh, I do very much so. You know, Luke was a doctor. He was trusted by people placing their very lives in his hands. He was a respected man. A credible witness. Yes, credible. And he said, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. That's pretty credible. It's very credible. What's one of the things that a lawyer tries to either prove or disprove about the witness? Their credibility. Hey, why do you think God wants us to live a holy life? Why do you think he wants us to live like Jesus and talk like Jesus and act like Jesus and do the things that Jesus did and don't do the things that Jesus didn't do? Why? Credibility. Credibility. Because we are to be what? Witnesses. And a witness has got to be credible. Otherwise, they will not be believed. If a lawyer is able to prove or that the witness is not credible or to discredit the witness, what has he successfully done? Cast doubt. Cast doubt. What do you think the devil wants to do? Hey, just listen, folks, we're in the court of law. People's lives are in the balance. Whether they go to heaven or hell. And we're the witness. And if you're trying to witness to your boss or witness to a co-worker, and the devil says to them and brings in their mind that you're not a credible witness, how are you going to do in that courtroom? Not well. Not well at all. Don't we have a purpose? That purpose is to be a minister and a witness to the Gentiles. To all people, for that matter. Go back to Acts chapter 26. Let's catch something else Jesus said. He said, make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. So Paul's been delivered. He's given opportunity to get to where he needs to go, to do what he's supposed to do in ministering and being a witness. Again, we're talking about purpose. What is he trying to accomplish? First of all, or I should say third of all, because we already talked about being a minister and being a witness, to open their eyes. Now, isn't it funny? On the Damascus Road, right? When Paul was struck by this light, what physical thing happened to him? Yeah. And we read in Acts chapter 9 how there were actually literal scales that fell off of his eyes when Ananias came in and ministered to him, right? Okay? Do you see how this signifies? What did Jesus do to Paul? He was blinded and his eyes were opened. What did he ask him to do? To open their eyes. To open their eyes. To have their eyes opened. Hey, there are lost people wandering around this world of darkness because they've been blinded by the devil. The devil has blinded their eyes. He's kept them in darkness. Have any of you been in a dark room or a dark place for a moment? And when you're exposed to the light, what is it kind of like? It's like, right? Yeah. And is it hard to open your eyes because you're so used to the darkness? It is difficult. It takes time. You know what? We're exposing people to the brightest light available. We are. Sometimes it takes time for them to get adjusted. But we've got to open their eyes. We've got to open their eyes. How do we accomplish this? Look at Mark chapter 8 and verse 18. Mark 8, 18. He said that his purpose was to open their eyes. Mark 8, 18. I'll look at verse 17. That's good. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? Now Jesus was talking to his own disciples here. But he says, hey, you need to open your eyes. Remember what he told him? He said, when you need to look up and see that the harvest is plenteous and the labors are few. You know what, folks? We need to open our eyes. And we need to be there to open the eyes of others. Oh, go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We need to open the eyes of people because they're in darkness. They're blinded by the devil. I love how John puts this in very clear form. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's it. We're trying to open their eyes. We're trying to help them to see the light of Jesus Christ. And then he says, I won't make you go back there. He says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness unto light. To turn them. Hey, how many times have you been made aware of something? You've seen something, but you didn't heed that warning. Right? Just seeing it and just knowing that it's there doesn't mean that we're going to follow what it says to do. Right? Listen, I have witnessed to people. And I remember, I'll never forget this. One of the first experiences I had when I was in the Navy, just a kid, just got started in the right kind of church, never really knew to be a witness before. And I was talking to another guy about my age, about Christ. And listen, the guy that I was talking to had read the scriptures. He knew how to be saved. And I said, hey, would you get saved? Would you trust Christ today? He says, no, I can't. And I said, well, why not? He said, well, I just can't. I just can't. I'm like, but do you know that you're a sinner? Well, yes. Do you know that the Bible says because of your sin you deserve hell? Well, yes. Do you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again the third day and paid for you? He says, yeah, I believe that. I said, well, then why don't you trust him? I can't. I was like, why? His eyes were open, but he didn't want to turn from darkness to light. Paul was purposed not only to open their eyes, but to turn them from darkness to light. You know, doesn't the Bible say something about compel them to come in? Then save with, and some having compassion, making difference. Others save with fear, pulling them. I mean, I think sometimes Paul had to go into a city and preach in the synagogues and gogs and grab the hold of some of those guys and turn them to Jesus. We've got to convince them that He is the way, the truth, in the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through Him. Nobody. These things that we've seen and heard, we're witnesses, we're ministers. We're to open their eyes and we're to turn them from darkness to life. Let's end in 1 Peter. We're right there. Just flip back a few books. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. This is so very important. Look at verse 9. Speaking of Jesus Christ and what He has done in us, but and our purpose because of salvation. Verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation. Was Paul chosen to do this work? Yeah, he testified of such to King Agrippa. And he said that he was obedient. He went and did it, what God told him to do. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. Why? Why are we these things? That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You remember back to the day where you were turned from darkness to light? Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We've been turned from darkness to light. So we must turn them from darkness to light. Can I tell you, folks, there's a purpose in reaching one this year. There's a purpose that we've been called to. Paul said that for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus had a purpose for Paul. And he's got a purpose for you and a purpose for me to reach one this year.